You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue on a Monday. Joining me is Grant Newsham, the newly appointed. He's like achieving in all specters of his life. And so he's back again this morning after doing some, I don't know if I'd call it investigated reporting, or it would be, it would be commenting on a report done by a major news network, right? So the headline is this: NBC promotes Chinese propaganda on virus originating from Wuhan Biolab. So, Grant, well, first of all, Grant, good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right. So I came in contact with somebody who I won't name, who, in order for them to write something for me, has to have people review it, okay? And mm-hmm. I'm talking about he or she would be writing in the mental health domain at this point, right? And dealing with the after effects of PTSD and traumatic events. That anything that he or she writes for publication has to be reviewed by the intelligence community, some intel clearinghouse, which means you have very, very high clearances, okay?
Okay.
And she said, and her expertise are in areas of China and space. And so she said, look, anybody who thinks that this was an accident is stupid. So she didn't say stupid because she wouldn't speak like that. I would say that. So first of all, let's talk about the headline. I just give you that on background. So tell us about the headline. Tell us what you were asked to do.
Okay. What it was, NBC News, which used to be that famous news company from when we were little, they sent a news crew to visit the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is that sort of very top-level laboratory in Wuhan, where it's alleged that they are suspected that the COVID-19 virus might have escaped from or somehow connected with.
Okay, let me ask a question. There's two labs there, right? One lab is what's the other lab? One and explain the difference between me. My understanding is one is a how do I say it? One was connected to the government and one was not, although that's not possible. So explain the difference between the two labs to me.
Okay. They're both government connected, as I understand it. One of them, however, is classified as so-called level. It's called a level 4 laboratory, which means it can handle sort of the most deadly viruses and study them and do whatever you do with them. And that's an international classification. So okay. It meets the highest standards. The other's just is a regular virology lab. So there's two of them, two separate places. And NBC went to the one which has the highest level of classification.
Got it.
And they had tried to get in there apparently for 8 months or so. And they finally got permission to go visit. And NBC went. And they produced what is the equivalent of an infomercial, explaining why the lab couldn't possibly have anything to do with the outbreak of the virus, and the Chinese must have been pinching themselves at their good fortune to have like the least inquisitive humans on the planet come and visit, and so this they issued the. Their story is a 5-minute news clip and accompanied actually by a written piece as well. But there's a Washington Post columnist named Josh Rogan, who's like is the one guy at the Post who's like has some interest in facts. And he had actually reported on this earlier this year because there had been two State Department cables from 2018 that he had gotten a hold of that describe having visited this particular laboratory and describing the safety problems, concerns they had. And they had a discussion about the kind of research they were doing. So Josh Rogan saw the NBC report. And he issued a number of scathing tweets on Twitter that sort of said, well, these people made all sorts of mistakes in their report. And, what on earth were they doing? And so I was asked to take a look at the NBC report and also Josh Rogan's tweets and write something based on that. And that's what I wrote about. And my conclusion was similar to his, that NBC basically gave the Chinese Communist Party some excellent propaganda in their 5-minute report.
So who does NBC interview in the report? So they go to the lab, and let me, Grant, let me ask you this. Don't you think that in the negotiations that led up to this, I would be shocked if NBC didn't have to produce every question that they were going to ask on camera, yay or nay?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would imagine they had to answer some questions about what they were going to do. But you will note, actually, that the questions they did ask some questions that, but the thing is that they appear to have almost no follow-up questions to the predictable answers. The thing is, I don't know what the ground rules before they went in. In fact, they should have mentioned that in their report. But it really comes, if you, it's worth watching the report. It is only 5 minutes out of your life, just because, and then what you'll probably want to watch it again just to see if you missed anything. To give you a sense of things, at the beginning of it, the lead reporter, she's talking. It's probably within the first 30 seconds of the report. She talks to this is the beginning. She talks to the assistant director of the laboratory, and she says something like, "So there was the virus didn't leak from here. There was no accident. Is that right?" And he goes, "Yes, that's right. The virus didn't leak from here." And she goes, "100% sure?" He goes, "100%. And that kind of set the tone for the whole thing. So imagine that. You're going in to sort of investigate a place where you think something horrible happened, and you think you're around somebody who knows what happened. And you ask them, "Well, nothing happened here, did it?" And they say, "No, it didn't." And
nothing to see.
And you say something like, "Swear to God, yes, swear to God." And you're just shaking your head. Even like that nut Sam Donaldson, if you remember, or like an old school reporter.
How could anybody forget Sam Donaldson?
I know, but assuming, say, it was a Republican who had done something,
right,
Sam Donaldson's blood would have been up. But they, they got their chance here, they had some other interviews. They did interviewed the, for example, the director of the lab, and she says, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about, because the Americans only visited once, and they didn't talk about biosafety matters." And the NBC reporter kind of says, "Okay," and yet you have these two State Department cables from 2018, which suggest the Americans visited more than once. And Josh Rogan, in an earlier article, had said, "Well, they visited 3 times," and addition, which is something that the NBC reporter should have raised. And then the lab director had said, "Well, we didn't even talk about biosafety matters." Yet if you read the cables, which are available the Washington Post got them via FOIA request or elsewhere.
Right.
And they talk at length about the safety problems and concerns at the lab. And here's one of the quotes. It says from the, this is what U.S. diplomats said, that when they, based on what they were told by people apparently at the lab, it says, the new lab has a serious shortage of appropriate trained technicians and investigators needed to operate this high containment lab. And then they talk more, the cables talk much more about the research that the labs are doing on bats, SARS viruses, and these sorts of things. And there's this, the NBC reporters appear not to have mentioned this. So instead of taking on the director of the lab, they just seem to take it at face value, and you listen to it, and it sounds like, you know, if you're just a regular listener, well, the Chinese didn't, you know, they said they didn't do anything, and they must not have. And they're just the complete lack of inquisitiveness and or combativeness in trying to get to the bottom of things or even get some useful information. And they don't even mention, you know, it could be that NBC was not allowed to talk to anyone else at the lab, but they should have mentioned that. You know, they could have said, well, we went there, but we
were... But it compromises the whole story because, you know, the big deal here is, you know, NBC is the first news organization to get inside this lab. That's the story that we want you to see. Mm-hmm. Now, the footnotes that we had to hand over the questions, we weren't allowed to follow up questions. And let me, I'll just to corroborate what Grant's saying as I'm going through, as I'm perusing the article, right? This is like a paragraph and a half. The Wuhan Institute and its scientists have become the focus of intense speculation and conspiracy theories, some emanating from the White House, about China's alleged efforts to downplay the outbreak's severity and whether the virus leaked from the facility. During the roughly five-hour visit, which included a tour of the BSL-4 lab, where the technicians clad in bubble-like protective suits handled small vials and other equipment while sealed inside a thick-walled glass enclosure, Wang Yanyi, director of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, said she and others felt unfairly targeted. She urged that politics not cloud investigations into how the coronavirus spilled over into humans. That's the tone of the article.
Oh, it's even better. You're right. And the it's hilarious in some ways. The reporter, you know, she says, well, and some of the people were trained by French and Americans, and there's big windows that you can see in and out of. Begging your pardon. Big, so what? And this was supposed to help make the case, but like a lot of these shows, that of course it's all Mr. Trump's fault. You know, he was included in the report, and they had some clips of him saying things like Kung Flu and
right.
Chinese plague and Chinese virus, as though because he had said these things, he's so awful that therefore anything the Chinese did must be okay. It's like everything you turn it back on because of Donald Trump.
Yes.
And this was, it's just obligatory, you know, for anything that any mainstream news puts out these days, but right. There's no logic to it. Another good clip, good bit in there was they say, five leading virologists familiar with lab protocols said it was improbable that the virus escaped from the Wuhan lab. Now, once again, think through this. You know, they must think they're reporting to complete idiots. Okay, five leading virologists, okay, that said it was improbable. They were familiar with lab protocols. Where? Like, which lab?
Yeah, who are they?
Is it the Chinese lab, or is it in general that if you have sealed doors and, you know, bubble suits that you're not going to have anything leak? So you can see the lack of oversight, because these are not stupid people. I think it very much is an agenda that they are trying to push. But that was another. It's just
okay.
One
so
thing
so
after,
let me so let me
another.
Ask you. You say you don't think they're stupid. This is an agenda. So and the agenda would be, we need to get in there, right, first. So that, no pun intended, that trumps all others. Second, we have to link this to Trump. So we got to put Trump in the story because that will raise its profile, right? And that's what matters to us. The actual facts in this story, you know, we're not going to really be able to get to because, after all, we are talking to Chinese government officials. So it's not like they're going to come clean and say, yeah, you know, relative to those State Department cables, we were struggling over the course of the last 2 years with, you know, our procedures relative to safety and the security of the viruses here. That's absolutely true. And they're not going to, I mean, so that's a deliberate decision by a news organization to say, look, the truth be damned, this is going to be a good story. It's going to be a good piece.
Oh, yeah, if you could have got in there and had the Chinese look really uncomfortable, let's put it this way, more uncomfortable on camera, that and made it clear that they had not answered the questions, that they had avoided them, that this would have been the story. But I my guess, if I had to make a guess, I wouldn't presume to know why they did this, is that it's part of the authorized thinking in part of the U.S. political world and the mainstream media, that you cannot blame China for what happened. To do that is racist. It's bad to associate China with this. And I think ultimately it tracks back to the idea that because Mr. Trump is the one who has been making this argument that China is to blame, that they should pay for this, and therefore the NBC is against it. And this is, you know, one sort of interesting bit here that a friend of mine who listened to this and read the piece said. He said, you know, that the day he'd seen the report, the day this appeared, and he said that this was the same day that Jimmy Lai, the owner of Apple Daily newspaper in Hong Kong, was arrested. And on NBC's news, they had this PRC propaganda about the Wuhan lab, but they didn't mention Jimmy Lai's arrest. And what that the significance of Jimmy Lai being arrested, he's been a really brave proponent of Hong Kong's liberty and freedom of everything. And the Communist Party hates him, of course. And his newspaper, Apple Daily, it's a good newspaper that investigates and reports honest things. They arrested him. They sent 200 police to his to get him. Nearly 80 years. He's old, and so you have the end of sort of free press, free thinking, freedom in Hong Kong, and NBC doesn't mention it, but they do mention their team that went to the Wuhan lab, asked softball questions, took whatever answers they were given, acted as they were the truth, and strung together a report which really the Chinese Communist Party could not be more delighted with. And that's the context in which this took place. And, you know, we're so used to this by now that actually if they had done anything else, we'd probably be surprised.
No, that would have been the jaw dropper, right? You should have seen what with the NBC news crew. They agreed to all the stuff. They got in there, and then when it gets to the critical moment in the interview, they do all the pleasantries, and then they say, she looks at him and says, obviously going off script because you see the look in his face and him looking off camera, right? You know that the world believes, based on these cables from the U.S. State Department, that virus came here by people from out of here, from some of your employees selling, you know, some of your laboratory specimens out in that wet market. You know that, right? All right. And then you see this wrestling match for the camera, right?
So that's what you should have got.
Right.
And there's more. There's other, you know, they made a big deal of having gotten a 5-hour guided tour. You know, it's not like when they were allowed to wander around or that they would have even known what they were talking about, were looking at. It's been 8 months since this thing broke, you know, at least since it broke out and since they were finally allowed to visit. So they were just so pleased with themselves, I guess, to have visited that they thought that was the coup. But, you know, the Josh Rogan made a funny comment in one of his tweets. He says, well, what did they expect to find? Did they think that they'd find a piece of paper that had been accidentally left behind saying origins of Wuhan virus?
Right.
You wonder, it's what exactly they thought they were going to get. It's they also had just one more example. See, of these things they tried to string together is they had mentioned that Dr. Fauci, that he had shot down the idea that it could have escaped from the Wuhan lab.
Right.
And they cite an interview he did with National Geographic. And if you read that interview, Fauci does nothing of the sort. He simply avoids answering that question. And he doesn't avoid it very well. He just sounds like a nut. he's asked the question very directly, and he gives a gibberish answer. And yet NBC says he shot it down. You know, this is just as shoddy journalism as you will ever see. That's why I suggested in the piece that it should be studied in journalism schools, assuming they ever were interested.
No, they wouldn't be interested, right?
Yeah, that's maybe I was wrong about that, but it should be, because they just get everything wrong, and you watch it as many times as you want, and you will say, well, who did they interview that has a contrary view? You know, did they interview any other experts, any other commentators with a different perspective on this? No, the whole thing from start to finish is the Chinese Communist Party side of the matter. And as I said, we're all sort of used to this by now, but it doesn't get any better.
So if somebody came to you and said, some aspiring young person, let's say, you know, at the age of around 20, so they've shaken off the, I don't know what I would call it, the numbing effects of their youthful youth, and they've settled into what's going to be their life for the next 30 years. And they said, hey, give me some advice on how I should consume the media that I consume. What would you tell them, Gret? Because this, as you said, we're used to, you know, anybody I would say who's serious about, you know, reading the news is used to this, is that you're not going to get, and this is a reporter, mind you. Okay, this is a reporter doing a hard news story, reporting these as facts. What would you tell them?
I don't know. You know, I would have to tell them that, you know, you hesitate to say, you know, it's that cliche, well, don't believe anything you hear. But, you know, I would say, assuming they have somehow gone through our education system and gotten some ability to dig up facts and weigh them, you know, for what makes sense, what doesn't, what seems accurate, you know, it's, you know, some ability to weigh evidence. If they had that, then I would remind them or suggest that don't ever take anything you read in the mainstream media or almost from anywhere, you know, as the gospel truth, but be willing to ask yourself, who is saying it? Why is there some, you know, do they have an agenda? Do they have some reason for presenting things and the way they do? And does it make sense? And there's still some good reporters around, and it's a few good outlets here and there, but you know, it's disappointing to have to tell them to be on their guard like this. And, you know, I suppose you could probably point them to some old reporting from back when it used to be people would present straight news with facts and, you know, and represent and usually include both sides of something, but you could read it and you wouldn't have any idea who the reporter probably voted for, nor would you have any idea what their opinions are. So it's gotten really to the point that you almost don't know where to, you know, point somebody or, but, you know, say, assuming they've learned somewhere, really to write an essay, or to weigh evidence, that, you know, tell them to really be on their guard, and remind them that things are different than they were before they were born. Because we remember when the word foreign correspondent used to have some meaning to it, where it was a guy who went somewhere and kind of tried to learn everything, or a woman who went someplace and tried to learn everything they could about a subject and then present it honestly and accurately and let the reader make up their minds, and let the facts speak for themselves. I include in the piece a fellow named John Rich, who was an NBC correspondent back when it mattered. He was used to be a Marine, actually. And I had met him on Iwo Jima 15 years ago at a ceremony. And he was retired, just barely retired by then. And he was about 85. And yet he's an example of back when foreign reporter meant something. And he reported from Asia for many years, and like just about every war that there ever was for the length of it. And yet you used to have guys like him who were pretty much the standard, or Richard Halloran, who also was excellent out in Asia. And those were, you know, you read their reporting, and that's, if you want to see how it's done, I'd say read, say, Richard Halloran in particular, who reported well into the 2000s. And he's excellent if you want to see how it's done. And that's the old NBC. And this is what it is today is, you know, it's, goodness, like the student newspaper at a...
Yeah, no, that's again, you would think it, but, and it's so much worse because the student newspaper, you can cite, well, just young, overzealous, and a little bit reckless with professionally. This is deliberate, right? It's deliberate. It's meant to be what it is, and, you know, designed to create clicks and views, and that's what we're doing here. And the truth... I'm not sure how far down the ladder the truth is, but it's not close to the top.
No, it really, if you read it, it's like an infomercial, you know, for why you should buy, you know, Mr. Microphone, or it's, you know, that's what it is. The Chinese communists could not have put out something better. And one way to look at it as well is consider if this had happened in the United States. You know, suppose that, for example, that there was this outbreak of a virus that has done all this harm. And suppose that we somehow had a pretty good idea that it originated in the northern Wisconsin. And yet, the virus was detected in bats or whatever lives in northern Wisconsin. Bats.
Badgers, you dope.
Okay, yeah, say a badger. Yeah, that's or a wolverine if it's Michigan.
No, but that's Michigan. Come on, get your Big Ten animals right.
I know, I was okay, a badger. And say it comes out of a badger. And yet, where the place it actually spreads from, where everybody starts getting sick first, is right around Fort Detrick, Maryland, where the military does bio research. Now, do you think that if reporters, American Western reporters, went to the lab at Fort Detrick in such circumstances, and do you think they would ask the lab director, "Well, nothing happened here, did it?"
No, they would laugh. They would laugh it right out of the building, right?
You could imagine they would just go. They would be incensed, and they would just start at questioning and this and that, and they would tear the place apart or tear the people apart. And the story would just get more and more and be more and more of a story, and it would then be about
the denial, and how high up would it go?
That's right. Exactly what they would do. And yet the reverse happens. They go to China and
Nope. Nothing to see here. Thank you so much for allowing us in this wonderful tour of your beautiful facility.
With big windows, yeah, so people can see in and out of them. So therefore, nothing could be going on because they have big windows. You're begging your pardon. I'm not like a Rhodes Scholar, but goodness, yeah, this is this was pretty bad. You know, you almost want to. I recommend watching it just out for the, you know, out of sheer curiosity. Of what's become to a once widely respected news organization. And it really reflects, I think, most other news organizations in the U.S. as well.
Let me ask this. Mac, ask Grant if he laughed when he was reading it. Did you actually laugh? Did you chuckle?
No, I think for some reason, the window part I did, but that was... that was when the woman talked about how they had big windows and therefore the Chinese couldn't have been hiding anything ever. No, I was more kind of irked to watch it. But also, since I don't usually write this kind of stuff, I had to pay really close attention to what was being said.
About how do you collect your news? What I would say to people is find individual reporters and columnists who tend to be in the general vicinity of the truth, because most are not. And there is not one news outlet that I would tell you to go to. I would tell you, to me, the one that stands out head and shoulders, the news outlet, is the Wall Street Journal. Still does news, in my opinion. All the rest of them, not so much. So I'm a fan of the Wall Street Journal's news, and then get your opinion content wherever you want to. But then I would look for guys like Michael Gordon, who writes for the New York Times on defense matters, international matters. I remember reading him when I was in Iraq and think, I don't know that guy. But he's spot on here, and I followed him ever since. And the same thing, that's how Tom Friedman got on my radar. Now, I don't always agree with Tom Friedman, but they tend to be around the truth and have interesting perspective. And so so to me, that's how you develop the stable of writers and outlets that you find to be more credible than most. And that's my advice on somebody who consumes news on a daily basis at a pretty – good clip. So
yeah, that's better advice than I gave, because there's probably more than you'd think. There are good reporters around, and even you know, the New York Times produces some pretty good stuff sometimes. Al Jazeera does as well, as long as it's not involving the Arab world. If you can pick your people, and there are some who are good, and actually is the better, much better answer than I gave. And you have like Claudia Rosette, who was with the Wall Street Journal for many years and still works for them, is excellent. Joe Bosco, there's a bunch of good ones. You mentioned Michael Gordon. Remember when Bernard Traynor, General Traynor, used to write for the Times?
Right.
Richard Halloran, who was with the New York Times, who I mentioned, was very good on Asia. He was almost a team with Traynor. Richard would actually sort of make sure that what General Traynor wrote was in good English, or was in newspaper English, put it that way. But they're a very good team.
Right.
But the point is, there are some good, plenty of good people around. Bill Gertz is always right. Worth a look. As well, and there's. I think if we were to start sort of think about it for a bit, there'd probably be a number of It wouldn't be a regiment, and probably not even a battalion. It might be like a platoon with a couple extra people.
Well, and that's all you need, okay? But yeah. You need to have people that you can go to that when. And again, what you're talking about is two different genres. You're talking about reporters and then columnists. Right, both who tend to be focused on the truth, And, yeah. you know, and I don't care where they come from. Rogan is one of those guys who tends to be yeah. focused on the truth. And that's why you see him do some pretty impressive work. All right, sir. Yeah. First of all, I appreciate you coming on this morning. It's not normally the way we do it, but thank you very much. And so the piece you wrote about this appears where?
It's just on the Center for Security Policy's website.
Oh, your new gig.
Yeah. So I didn't try to. I didn't. Yeah, that's where it was. Who asked me to write it, so I wrote it. That's where it appears.
Will you send me the link so I can include it in this?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Just
don't let NBC know what I said about them.
I think you've fallen safely with a whole slew of people that looked at it and honestly and laughed. It's laughable reporting. I mean, when you become, I mean, it's like going to Germany and stopping outside of the Polish town of Oswiecim and interviewing the labor camp commandant as cherry cheeked, you know, inmates do gardening of a beautiful flower bed. Right? And he tells you the same thing, nothing to see here. And that's the extent of your broadcasting. So, you know, we've heard the rumors. We've come here. Look at the beautiful flowers. And look at the beautiful, shiny, you know, concertina fence. What a beautiful place. Oswiecim, Poland. Thank you. And what a wonderful slogan. Work will make you free. Isn't that the truth, folks? Live from whatever NBC, whatever news organization you want to throw in there. Come on, it's stupid. So anyway.
Yeah, that's about what it's like.
Nice. All right, Grant, have a good day.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good night.
Righto. We'll talk to you later.
All right. That is Grant Newsham here on a Monday. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll get Alex Hollings on the blower. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.